Today, though, we're talking about service. It's Serve Sunday. And when you come into church on Sunday morning, you might be greeted by someone in the lobby. Maybe you see the people up here leading us in worship, our worship team, and you think, oh, Bethany has a few volunteers. In reality, on any given Sunday morning, even during the pandemic, and especially before the pandemic and after this is all over, we have dozens of volunteers who serve on any given Sunday morning, on Wednesday nights, and throughout the week. We have the media team that makes certain that our lyrics look as they should and that our live stream is working properly so that those of you who are watching from home can participate. There's the sound team that makes sure we can all adequately hear. There are men and women serving in our nursery, in children's classes, and in Super Church beginning next week. Our security team keeps us safe. We have Guest Central and hospitality teams that help people to feel welcome and know where to go. We have Connect Group leaders, Fellowship Hour volunteers, people holding signs of hope at the end of the driveway. We have volunteers who serve in grief and recovery ministries, and we have so many, many more who serve throughout the church and in the body of Christ. We don't have time to highlight all of the ministries or all of the people, but I do want to honor those who faithfully serve among us and who give a lot of their time during the week and on a Sunday or on a Wednesday night. And we can't take all of our volunteers out for an appreciation dinner or get you all expensive gifts to say thank you. Or we can't even all mention you by name because it started to sound like a genealogy from 2 Chronicles or, I don't know, like reading the credits at the end of a movie or something. But what I do want to do is just for all of those who are serving in media and sound, ushers, greeters, hosts, children's Sunday school teachers, adult teachers, those who help in the kitchen and compassion ministries and outreach ministries and special events and our Revolution youth leaders and music and worship team members and security and nursery and men's and women's and fellowship hour and support groups and connect groups and all those other ministries where you so faithfully serve. We want to thank you. And so if we could, can we just give those who serve in these ministries a great big round of applause and thank you for what they do because they serve so generously among us. We thank you for what you do week in and week out, often without being recognized. I know that's why you're in it though, for that once a decade time when we applaud you in the sanctuary. I know that's why you do what you do. Obviously not. In fact, we know that you're not in it for recognition because what you do is more than volunteering. You're partners in the gospel. Check out what the Apostle Paul says at Philippians chapter 1, verses 3-5. He says this, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And this is how we should learn to see ourselves in the body of Christ, when we give, when we serve, when we tell others, when we encourage, we are partners in the gospel. And there are so many ways that people serve, so many different talents and skills and gifts that God has given to people in the body of Christ. And there are even differing passions that get people excited about their service. And not only do I want to thank all of those who serve throughout the church and so partner in the gospel, I want to encourage you in your service. And I want to encourage you that if you aren't already serving, that you find a place to serve. I want to challenge you to find a place of service. You need to find that place of service in the body of Christ, and I want to tell you why you should find that place of service. I mean, you might think, well, of course, the church wants me to serve because that benefits them. And undoubtedly, that's the case. Yes, we want you to serve. There are areas of need in the church where we could use your gifts, your talent, your time in order to help make the ministry more effective and better. Of course, there will always be a need. It doesn't matter how many people sign up today, we'll still have needs for people serving in the church. But I want you to consider this, that when you serve in the church, it's not like volunteering. It's not like free labor for the church. Because you're not working for us, you're working for the Lord. You're working in partnership with us for the gospel of Jesus Christ. In other words, when you serve, you're serving your brothers and sisters and ultimately serving God. And so the reason we want you to serve, in fact, the reason that I'm going to share with you today that you should get involved in service is not just because we have a need and we need a warm body to fill that need. In fact, that's not at all the approach we want to take. The reasons that I want to share with you is because Service will connect you to what God is doing. Service will connect you in the body of Christ. Service will help you to form bonds with other believers. Service will connect you to your purpose and to the mission that God has for his church. In other words, service isn't just good for the church. Service is probably even better for you. And so I want to share with you the reasons that service can connect you to what God is doing. And the first one is this, that serving connects you to purpose. Consider Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. The Apostle Paul writes this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You're saved by God's grace. That grace is a gift to you. Salvation is a gift to you. You can't do any good works to deserve forgiveness. In fact, any good work that you can do is not like a payment that you make against bad works that you have done, because you should have been doing those good works anyway. To think that good works are a balance against bad works is like a child who wants to be paid for helping clear the table or sweep the floor. You don't get paid for being a part of the family, do you? Nobody gets paid for that. You get to live here. I let you eat my food. If I ask you to do something, it's to help, it's not because you're paying something bad off, it's because that's what is expected. That's what I tell my kids. And it's the same with God, too. Originally, he created you for good. So good works can never pay for sin, because you were always supposed to do good works anyway. So it's not like there's a balance going on here. But because of sin, because of our rebellion against God, the good reason that God created us and the good works for which he created us have gotten all messed up. In other words, your purpose got twisted because of sin. But look at what the Apostle Paul says in verse 10. He says, "You were created in Christ Jesus." He's not talking about the creation in Genesis 1 here. He's talking about the moment you gave your life to Christ and you were reborn. You were created in Christ Jesus. That means that when you put your faith in Christ, when you confessed that Jesus is your Lord, when you confessed your sin and believed in him, you were remade, born again, and you were created new in Christ Jesus. And when that happened, God reworked you. He remade you, and he also gave you a restored purpose, a reason for being. You were made for a purpose. You're here for a reason. You don't do good works to deserve that. You don't do good works to get saved. But now that you are saved, God has a specific purpose for you, and he has good works that he wants you to do. You don't do good works to follow Jesus. You do good works because you are following Jesus. You don't do good works to be saved. You do good works because you are saved. And look how awesome this is, because God prepared those good works, Paul says, beforehand. He has specific things designed for you. You're his workmanship. You're his design. You're his artistry. You're his craft. And he's made you for specific good works. Now, you might be thinking, how do I know what he's made me to do? What has he made me for? And I think the next phrase in Ephesians 2:10 can help us here. It says, he's created you for good works that we should walk in them. And the idea of walking in Scripture is step by step, day by day attention to God's presence and to his Holy Spirit in your life. Every day, you can know that God has some good work for you that day. You can ask him to help you to see that good work. You can set your mind on Jesus and be attentive to the circumstances around you and to the people who need encouragement and to those in need and to the conversations that could lead to Jesus. You can pay attention when you feel you should do something, when you feel that nudge from the Holy Spirit to talk to someone, to give something, to meet a need. And it doesn't seem to be merely a natural response that you're feeling, but instead you're sensing God's voice to step outside your comfort zone. And day by day, you learn to follow that and learn to follow where God is leading you. And not only that, but you learn the good works that God has designed you for through God's word. You start doing what God's word says. For instance, the prophet Micah said to God's people, "He's told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God." He was saying that God has made his expectations clear. Now, those are general, and you have to figure out in your life through the presence of the Holy Spirit how to apply them specifically, how to do justice in your life, how to show mercy to the people around you, and how to walk humbly in your relationship with God. Nevertheless, the Word of God gives us the direction. We're supposed to encourage one another, bear one another's burdens, meet each other's needs, care for orphans and widows, teach the gospel to the next generation, preach the good news, and much more. And God has communicated these things to us through His Word so that we would know in what kinds of good works we are supposed to be engaged. And I think that another way, and a really, really good way to learn the gifts that God has given us and to understand what kinds of good works He's created for you to do is to jump in and serve. And in just a moment, we're going to invite you to fill out a digital serve card. And rather than ignoring that request, maybe you should actually consider filling that out, taking that next step, even if you're not sure where you want to get involved. Because one way that people learn how God wants to use them is by serving, is by jumping in, is by getting involved somewhere so that you can find out what it is that God has gifted you to do. I mean, maybe you think you'd be a good fit in the media ministry, and so you fill out a serve card, and you hear from Rob, our media director, and he calls you in, and you begin to serve there. And if he has to start by explaining to you what a computer is, and that when he refers to mouse, he's not talking about a small rodent, maybe you realize, oh, you know what? This isn't the place for me. And that's fine, but you're learning that what you're narrowing the field, right? You're learning what may be the place that God wants to use you and the gifts that God has given to you. And it's fine. You're not locked into a 5-year contract. Thank God, Rob doesn't want that either if you don't know what a mouse is. And so perhaps you reluctantly decide that you're going to fill out that card and you find some place that isn't a fit. That's fine because you're learning where God wants you and where your fit is. Maybe you decide you want to fill out that serve card and you reluctantly serve in the nursery. And then you begin to realize that you really do care about these kids and you do have a knack for praying over them and for watching over and protecting them. You find that you actually care. You find that you care that parents are able to attend our services and you care to bless those kids and to pray and teach them. And as you serve, you begin to sense God's pleasure. You get that I was made for this kind of feeling because God did create you in Christ Jesus for good works. So it's not unexpected that when you begin to serve and discover what God made you for, that you're going to feel that, wow, I was created for this kind of feeling in your life. So jump in and serve. Join the body of Christ in fulfilling its purpose to bring glory to God through its good works. Serving connects you to your God-given purpose. And so that's the first reason that you should jump in and serve. That's the first way that it connects you. But the second way is that serving connects you to people. We just finished up a series through 1 Peter last week, and we spoke about how important it is to be connected to one another. Because the church is not defined as a loose group of people who believe roughly the same things and meet once a week on Sunday mornings. I mean, one of the Apostle Paul's favorite metaphors for the church was a body. And at Ephesians 4:15-16, Paul wrote this. He said, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." When we're serving the purpose for which God has designed us, when as part of the body you fulfill the function for which God created you, then healthy joints and ligaments form to connect us together so that we can grow in Christ and better fulfill the mission. When we talk about the body of Christ, we often talk about the various parts, but Paul here emphasizes as well how those parts are connected and that when we serve as in the way that God has designed us and for the purpose He has called us, that connections form between us so that we're better able to carry out the functions of the church and we're better connected to one another. To put it simply, Serving in the church is a great way to meet friends who share a common faith and often common gifts and interests, and to develop relationships that are deeper than possible if you're just attending a service. Now, obviously, making friends should not be your only motivation to serve, but relationships develop and growth does occur through service. Sometimes people come to church and they find it difficult to build relationships, and they struggle to find people with whom they can connect. Maybe you came to church and you felt initially welcomed, but then you weren't sure where to go beyond, you know, the elbow bump and the hello through a mask on the way out the door. And you feel like there should be more, but you aren't the best, maybe, in large social groups, and you're finding it difficult to break through the masks and the social distancing. And so while the church feels friendly, you still feel alone. Can I nudge you to find a place of service? This will not only get you involved in the work of the church, but it will naturally create connections between you and other people who serve God as well. And you may have all kinds of objections to it. You may have fear. You may have excuses that you're thinking of. But building deep connections with others is going to take some courage and commitment from you. It just does. Sometimes people will approach and say, "Pastor, I'm struggling to find relationships in the congregation." And then when I probe a little and ask what they're doing, what they've tried, basically they've tried sitting on a Sunday morning. Now, we want to be as friendly as we can be. We are working to go out of our way to make sure that you feel welcome, and not only feel welcome, but that we present to you every opportunity to be connected. But at some point, if you really, in your heart, desire to be connected to other people, you have to take that step of courage and say, "I'm going to participate in something more than just being here on Sunday morning." And one of the best steps that you can take in that regard is saying, "I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve others. You know what? I've been expecting other people to come to me, to serve me, to make me feel welcome. What if I flip that script? What if I say, you know what? I want to feel connected. I'm going to help other people feel connected. I'm going to serve others." In fact, isn't this exactly what the Bible would lead us to expect, would help us to find our place and help us to know the love of others and of God better than we have? I mean, wasn't Jesus just so keen on telling us the way they do it in the world doesn't always work? And if you expect that you're going to be served and feel connected, it's probably not going to work out. But if you'll flip that on its head and say, "I'm going to serve others," then you'll feel a deeper connection than you have before, and you'll develop deeper relationships than you've known before. So if you're looking for that kind of connection to others, take the step to fill out the digital serve card. We're making it easy, a simple way for you to just take an initial step toward what is going to help to connect you to other people in Christ. Take that step of faith that God has a place for you to serve and that he can help you to build those relationships. Serving connects you to your purpose and it connects you to people. But the third thing that serving connects you to is that it connects you to the mission and vision of the church. And the mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus. And here at Bethany, we've expressed it this way. Bethany exists to glorify God by advancing the good news about Jesus so that lives are transformed as they are filled with the Spirit, marked by baptism, connected in community, and mature in worship. And when you serve at Bethany, it means that you're part of the team that's seeking to do this. You're seeking to fulfill this mission. Even more than fulfilling the purpose for which God created just you, serving connects you to the purpose for which he has made his church, his people. When you serve, you're part of a team and therefore part of that team's mission. And this is really important. When you serve, you're not just a cog in the wheel. When you serve at Bethany, you're serving the mission to see lives transformed by the good news of Jesus Christ. And that may not always be evident immediately or on the exterior, especially if you serve behind the scenes. And let me give you a for instance of this. When we've been streaming our services online for years now, and sometimes there were very, very few people watching, though it has been of great benefit to those few. And so I could imagine that if you served on Rob's media team and you were serving as a camera operator or a director, that that in February, you might have been thinking to yourself, man, I put a lot of time into this, and you know, for what? What am I really doing? What are we accomplishing here? I mean, Pastor Stephen's not that good looking that we need all these cameras trained on him anyway. He's really more of a podcast kind of guy, and I'm turning these knobs and adjusting these settings, and what are we really accomplishing? Nobody even recognizes the hard work I've put in. And then March rolls around, and suddenly everybody is watching online. And the way that we're preaching the gospel and building the church was all online. And people became aware that camera operators and directors are really important to accomplishing our mission of proclaiming Jesus. And the same can be said for all ministry areas. Not that everybody's going to receive a big moment of highlight, but the truth is that no matter where you serve in the church, the goal is that it is connected to the mission. That the purpose of what you serve, you're not just volunteering. You're not just giving some time. This isn't community service. You're coming to help fulfill the mission so that Jesus is proclaimed. And whether that's behind the scenes or it's obvious to everybody, the mission is the same. We're all partners in the gospel for the sake of the kingdom of God. You're not serving for the sake of serving. You're not serving just to feel better. You don't serve out of a sense of obligation. You don't serve simply because you don't have anything better to do. This isn't a hobby. You don't serve just because you've got a gift. You serve because you're on a team. You're on Team Jesus, and you want other people to know about how Jesus has transformed your life, and so you serve so that they might hear that Jesus changes lives, that he saves people. And as we read from Philippians at the beginning of the message, we're partners in the gospel. So if you're serving in the nursery, it's so that you can protect and pray over kids and allow their parents an opportunity to hear the gospel and know Jesus. If you serve in the food pantry, it's because you want people to see the love of God through the church so that they might come to know his love through Jesus. If you serve on the hospitality team, it's so that you can remove barriers and excuses and distractions to people opening their hearts and hearing the good news about Jesus. And the same can be said of every area of ministry. This isn't like community service that you're doing because you have to. You shouldn't do it because you want accolades or because you want to gain some kind of prestige or power. Service in the church should be done because you know the mission and the vision of the church and you want in. You believe it and you want to participate. You believe that God transforms lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they're filled with the Spirit, they're marked by baptism, they're connected in community, and they mature in worship. You believe that that's what God wants for people's lives. And so you say, I want to join that team. I want to be a part of what God is doing. Service in the church should not be done because of a lesser reason, but in the understanding that I'm a member of the team accomplishing the mission of Jesus. And you know how Jesus has transformed your life, and now you want to help others know that as well. That's why we serve. I want you for just a moment to take a look at a short clip. And if you were here early and you were here prior to service, you probably saw some of these testimonies, but it won't hurt you to hear them again. And if you haven't been here for the first few minutes of service, if you missed that, then you won't have seen them yet. And I want you to see them. And for those watching online, I want you to see these testimonies of why people in the church are serving in ministry.
Hi, I'm Matthew Lane.
And I'm Rebecca Lane.
We want to share with you why we're so excited about Connect Groups.
We've been able to meet new people, build relationships, pray together, study God's Word together, and even have a little fun together.
We've even found out what each other's favorite side dishes are. So if you want to get connected, find out one of the Connect Groups that you can get involved in today.
Hi, so I'm Hannah Buckley. I serve at Guest Central, a part of the hospitality team. I guess why I serve... I serve because, I'm so grateful to serve. It's part of who I am. It's your call to serve. Bethany is my home, and it's who I am. And I come in here, and I feel safe, and I feel loved, and I'm in the Father's house, and I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to create that atmosphere and culture for everyone else coming inside. Whether you've been here for 40 years and you've been a member, or this is the first time you've ever walked into a church before, I want you to feel loved and loved by the Father, accepted by me. Everyone walking in those doors has a different story. They are who they are, and we're here to embrace that and to love that and to help you on your journey through Christ in our church. So I'm just so grateful to be part of the hospitality team, to be used by God. He's done so many amazing things that I've got to see through him, through me, and I'm just so grateful and thankful.
Hi, my name is Alex Sincevich, and I'm volunteering on the worship team as a guitar player, and I'm so excited that I'm going to start singing as well. Also, I'm part of media ministry as a cameraman and controlling Facebook and YouTube live streaming. I'm so glad that gifts and talents God gave me working out and blessed my spiritual family of Bethany. Grace and peace.
Hi, my name is Anugra George, and I'm from the music department. I came to Bethany a year and a half back. I joined the worship team because my God-given gift is found in music, and my passion is to praise Him and worship, and to make sure everyone to be engaged in truth and spirit.
My name's Tony Saloyo. I volunteer in the sound department, and I help out because that's where my gift is, and I really enjoy helping out the worship team make a beautiful sound.
When you serve, you don't just serve because you think we need help or because you saw a BNN. You serve because you understand that your service is connected to the mission of the church, that it's changing lives, and that it's a part of how people come in and are transformed by the gospel of Jesus. Serve because you want in on the mission. And the fourth reason that you should serve and the connection that it makes is not just because, you know, you're connected to your purpose, not just because it's going to connect you to others, and not only because it's going to connect you to the mission of the church, but serving connects you to Jesus. Listen to this. These just a few passages and examples of what Jesus says. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Luke 22:27, for who is greater, one who reclines at table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. Matthew 25:40, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. John 13:5, then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. John 13:14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. See, serving not only connects you to what the church is doing, serving connects you to Jesus because it's who Jesus is. Jesus came to serve. What an amazing truth that is, that though he is God, he came to serve you. That kind of blows all of our excuses for not serving out of the water, doesn't it? If Jesus could humble himself to serve you, what excuse do we have for saying, you know what, I'm not going to humble myself and serve. I'm not going to serve others. I'm not going to get involved in ministry. I'm not going to get involved in what God's kingdom is doing in the world. Serving doesn't mean exactly the same thing as volunteering. Because you can volunteer for a number of reasons. You can volunteer because you want people to admire you, because there's a pretty girl or a handsome young man on the team, because you want to manipulate others. You can volunteer because you're proud. But really serving means that you're not just on the team, but that you're exercising the attitude of Jesus on that team. You're doing it for him, but you're also doing it like him. And when you serve like that, you're connected to Jesus. You're displaying his heart and his love for others, and you're doing it in the power of his Holy Spirit. So if you're asking yourself how you can grow to be like Jesus, how you can deepen your relationship with God, how you can increase your faith, don't just volunteer. Get involved in a ministry and have the attitude of Jesus on your team. Wash the feet of those with whom you serve. And I don't mean that you should, you know, literally bring a bowl and a towel and wash their feet. They might be kind of creeped out by that. But I mean, take the initiative to go beyond what's expected of you. Take the initiative to go beyond what they think you are obligated to do for them. You should do the stuff that others won't do. You should bless others even when they don't say thanks or acknowledge you, and you should do it gladly. You shouldn't come to church only for what you can get out of it, though we do come with the expectation that God is going to meet us when we come and that he's going to encourage and lift burdens and bless and heal, we come with that expectation. But we also come with the expectation that we're going to have the opportunity to serve God, worship him, and to serve others. That's Jesus' style of service. And when it comes to church, I want to ask you this. Are you looking at church as some kind of obligation? Do you come simply to get something out of it? Do you come with certain expectations, not the kind of faithful expectations we mentioned just a moment ago, but come with the expectation that you're going to be served by others and that they need to do it the way that you like it, that you need to be made to feel welcome, that your emotional needs need to be fulfilled on a Sunday morning? Or do you come with the desire to offer something to the Lord, to meet needs, to encourage others, to be useful in God's house? That's the service of Jesus. Listen, every church needs more volunteers. That's just the reality of it. It will be that way until Jesus comes. But we've seen another reality today, that we don't just want volunteers, we want fellow servants. We want people who desire to serve alongside us and fulfill the mission of Christ. Further, we want people to be blessed and grow in their service. Service is a means of discipleship because it connects you to Jesus. It makes you more like him when you serve other people. We want people to be blessed in the relationships that develop as they connect with other people who serve in God's kingdom. Serving connects you to all these things. So you should find your place of service. And so to help you do that, we've made this really simple process. And the first thing that you can do that gets the ball rolling is that you just text the word serve to 413-300-6061. And when you do that, you're not committing to anything. You're not going to be sent a contract that says, for the next 10 years, I will dedicate my life to. Okay, that's not what happens. What happens is this, that you're going to be sent a link to a digital serve card where we're going to get your contact information for you, and we're going to ask you about what areas you have experience in and what areas you're interested in serving. And then, if you're not sure and you don't know what's available, don't sweat it, because we've got that covered as well. In addition to the serve card, if you text that number, you're going to receive a link to an orientation meeting that we're going to be conducting on Zoom tomorrow evening. And this meeting is for all new serve team members. And it's going to help you get acquainted with the mission, the vision, the values, the culture, and the ministries of Bethany. And I know it sounds like that's going to take like 5 years. It won't. It'll take less than an hour. Also, we're going to send you a link to a gifts assessment where you'll answer a few questions that will help you identify where has God gifted me and where might he be calling me to get involved in ministry. And then once we've done all of that, we'll connect you to a pastor who will help, or a ministry leader who's going to help you identify where you can best serve in the church. That's the process. And all we're asking you to do is not to remember all that, but just to text serve to 413-300-6061. Are you a partner in the gospel? Are you using the gifts that God has given you to serve his kingdom? Do you need to connect to purpose, to people, to Jesus, and to his mission? Now I want to ask you, if you would, right now, text serve to 413-300-6061. If you want to connect in the ways we've talked about this morning, would you do that? You can do it even now. I won't be offended if you take your phone out and you text that number even now. You can do that, and we have a number of opportunities that are available. If you have experience with soundboards, there are opportunities for service in our sound department. We have a lot of opportunities in our children's ministry department, and we have opportunities for our outreach with the Christmas drive-through. We're going to need a lot of help doing that, and so we want to ask you that if you're looking for connection and you're wanting to grow in your relationship with Jesus and you're not yet serving, find a place of service. And this is the simple way that we want to help you to do that. If you don't have your phone with you, of course, you can always write the number down and text it later, or you can visit our website. Just go to connections and then volunteer, and you can just click that and it'll take you through the same process. We want to encourage you. Serving in God's kingdom is not something that's optional for like the Navy SEALs of God's people. Serving in God's kingdom is what he's called each of us to do. You remember Ephesians? He says this, that God has created you in Christ Jesus for good works that he prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. Are you walking in those good works? Are you serving the body of Christ? If you're not already following Jesus, if you're not a Christian, then of course you're not walking in those works that God has created for you beforehand because you haven't yet experienced what it means to be created in Christ Jesus. And we want you to know that God has made you for a purpose and that he has a plan for you. He created you to know him. And he created you to express your relationship with him through the gifts and the talents that he has given to you. But sin has messed that relationship up. And sin is the rebellious refusal to acknowledge and to love God. It's running from God. Sin is disobedience against God. And it's not worshiping God. It's trying to live without God, as if you could live without him. But since he's the one who gives you life and purpose, sin leads to death. It leads to death in relationships. Sin leads to death in our sense of meaning and purpose in life. And it also leads eventually to physical death. But God is merciful and God is gracious. And so he didn't want you to remain there separated from him and from your purpose. And so God sent his son, Jesus. Jesus was born. He is God born in the flesh. He became human for you. And he became human for this reason, that he might carry your sin and bear the penalty of it when he died. And so Jesus died on the cross. Maybe you're familiar with the story, that he died on the cross, and when he died in your place, but he did not remain dead. God raised him from the dead on the third day, and he did that to demonstrate his power and to demonstrate that Jesus is indeed our Savior. And the scripture says this, that God did it so that he might demonstrate his love for you. And so if you don't have a relationship with God through Jesus and you're feeling disconnected from others, you're feeling disconnected from purpose, you're not sure what direction your life is supposed to take, and you've been running and pushing away from God in your life, I want to ask you to do this. Stop pushing God away. Maybe even now you're sensing his Holy Spirit confronting you, convicting you, convincing you that you have pushed him away, that you've been disobedient, and you need him in your life. I want to ask you to submit to that today, not to continue to push him away, but instead to recognize the truth of what you're sensing, that you are a sinner and that you're in need of a Savior. And the Bible says this, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You'll be saved in this sense, that God is going to remake you, that you will be born again in Christ Jesus, that he's going to renew purpose in your life. He's going to give you hope for your future, and he is going to give you the assurance of eternal life with him. And so if that's you, you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus, you're sensing that purposelessness, that separation from God today, and you know that the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, I want to ask you to respond by texting HOPE to 413-300-6061. Whether you're here in the building or you're watching online, if you don't have that relationship with God through Jesus and you want to begin that today, would you text that? Because we want you to understand not just that this is a prayer that you pray, but we have some free resources that we want to give to you. And we also want to help you to understand, where do you go from here? How do you keep following Jesus? How do you keep walking in his steps? And so if that's you, you don't have that relationship, please text HOPE. But I also want to pray for you. If you know that you need that relationship with God through Jesus today, as I pray, would you make this prayer your own? Would you pray along with me and confess your sin and your need for Jesus? And will you today by faith receive what God has done for you through his Son? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have loved me through Jesus. I know I've pushed you away and I've walked away from you in sin and rebellion. I've not acknowledged you in my life. Please forgive me. Lord, you know my brokenness, you know my hurt and my pain, and I'm tempted to think that I can fix it myself or that I can pay it off somehow, but I know that I can't. And so I ask that you, by your grace, would forgive me. I believe in Jesus. I believe that he died for me, and I believe that you raised him from the dead and that he is alive, and today I need that new life. I want to be made alive in him. So Lord, would you forgive me and would you renew me and make me alive in Jesus? I want to walk in his life from here on out. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, please don't neglect to text HOPE, because we want to connect you to the hope of Jesus and help you to understand where to go. For the rest of you, do you have a place of service? Are you connected to the body of Christ? Are you connected to his mission? Are you connected to Jesus? Are you connected to the purpose for which God made you? If not, help us help you by texting SERVE to 300-6061. Would you stand with me? And I want to pray over you. And I want to ask God's blessing on all of those who are already serving in the church. And ask for his help for all of those who are about to begin. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for the grace that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that you have enabled so many people in this congregation to serve with great power, with great faithfulness. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to help. Lord, we pray that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit and enable them, whether they are serving in the children's ministry or in media or in security or in numerous other places throughout this church. We ask that you would enable them in the power of the Holy Spirit to serve. God, I ask that for them, service would not just be something that they show up to do once a week, but that, Lord, they would sense that you are using them, that you are enabling them, that you are equipping them by your Holy Spirit. I pray that they would sense your power working through them. And I pray that they would know that they're connected to your purpose and to your mission as they serve. And Lord, I pray for those who are just beginning to think about where they should serve. I ask that you'd give them the grace to identify and understand the gifts that you've given them and the place where you are calling them. I pray, Lord, that they would find that place as they seek you. And I ask that they would make all of these connections that we've spoken about today. Father, we thank you for the ministry of this church and for the many, many partners in the gospel who are involved. And we ask for your favor and your grace to rest on them. In Jesus' name we pray and we believe for these things and we believe, Lord, for greater ministry to come. In Jesus' name, amen.